So I had a sore throat. So I thought, what sort of, you know, is it a, what sort of sore throat is it? You know, but it's a sore throat. So I thought, oh, better go and get checked out. And we've got one near us. This is
You mean a
COVID, obviously.
test? This is a
Yeah, a
test,
test. Where you just stay in the car. This is like going to the drive-in, you know. It's
fantastic.
Just like,
we got one near us too. It's fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah. And
I mean, the kids are a bit bored. Let's get in the car. We'll go have a test. Off you go.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's an outing.
It's an outing.
And seriously, it was. I was sitting at home, and it was cold and wet, feeling a bit glum, and thought, well, jump in the car, go around there. And now, not because I was recognised, you know, but there were people there. Well, the good thing was I got to mix with people. Have a chat with people. So they met the guy at the gate, had a chat. Oh, good day, mate. How are you? Good to see you. Have you done this? You done that? Okay, just go up there, wait there, and then we'll do that. We'll go around there. And then another guy came over the window, had a bit of a chat. And then, and they, I mean, they're not chatting, but they're, you know, very friendly. And then you move down. It took about, took one whole podcast, listened to one whole podcast.
Really?
So it was about 35 minutes, I reckon. But it was fine because I was enjoying the podcast. I was a guest on another podcast, so I was listening to
whatever.
Some, you know,
yeah,
team
yeah,
effort, team effort with
team effort.
And yeah, it's very good.
Ash, yeah, Ash.
Yes, Ash and Tony Martin and Ross Noble. Hell of a lineup!
What a lineup!
God, so you got to bring a plate to that party. Anyway, so listening to that, very good. Slowly getting closer, slowly getting closer, and then I get up. The guy comes to the window. Don't take your mask off yet, mate. No worries. They're all again very friendly. And I had to ask, they ask a lot more questions this time because I've been done. How many times have you been done?
Four, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Four,
yeah, I've been maybe. Three. Then we got to chatting and he was a front. I said, how panicked are you? He goes, you know what? It's not the best thing in the world, but it's not the end of the world. And he said, I've worked on the, in the, at the front line. I've been, with patients, and they've actually, you know,
boy.
One guy ripped off my PPI. Is it PP?
PPE.
And he said, "Oh, that's it. I've got it. I've caught it." This guy's incredibly brave to be. You know, I said, "Do you get nervous working here?" He goes, "No." You know,
well, he's outdoors. Is he outdoors or is he a nurse?
Well, it was like a drive-through tent scenario.
Like
a marquee thing. Then he goes, okay, have you been in a red zone? No. Have you been in a state? No. Have you had vaccination? Yes. Have you had symptoms? Yes. And he's just firing off all these questions going, yes, yes, yes. He goes, oh, that's very good. Just one more question. Can I just get you to say time to hit the road?
Ah, oh, there you go.
So I gave him. I would normally, you know, normally it would be look, you know,
normally
you're
saying,
pay me.
Yeah. Listen, mate, you know, stuff.
Listen, man, I'm not working now. I'm not in the outfit. You know, and if you, you know, normally that sort of thing, $3,000 to $5,000. Normally, you know, just you know, I'll do it for that. But no, I said, okay, turn your head, don't look at me, and I gave him a full time to hit the road, and I made him happy.
That's good.
And then another guy came over. He was a Kath and Kim fan, and they're not allowed to take photos in there. And I said, "Do you want to?" He goes, "No, I can't have a photo." And so we were all doing the right thing and had a good time. And
you went home. Yeah. You felt better.
I did. I got to say, I felt much better having a bit of social interaction. That's what. That's why people are suffering. It's real social.
It's true.
Sharing. People are suffering. Kids, adults alike. We're not spending time with friends and family, and that's the one thing that gives you a big injection of feel good. And I only hope that spending a little bit of time on somehow related, that we give off that vibe that you're spending time with us, and you know, talking about good things.
It's different interaction than I had. I was just down the coffee shop getting Kieran a coffee, and one of the mums I know said to me, "Oh, I saw you at one of the exposure sites." I'm like, "What?" She said, "Yeah, a prostitute in St Kilda." I'm like, "Oh, Kilda."
she drew you in and bang, got you.
Oh God! Well, here comes the music. I wasn't the music, there. I QR coded.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast.
I don't know, for interstate people would probably know about the prostitute, but if it was announced on the news and then your husband or maybe your wife went out to check their diary to see whether or not that was the day that they did
visit. Well, we had to laugh. I was in the car with Kieran again, driving her to get her section jab, and it was a politician came on and said, "We urge everyone who has visited the sex worker or a sex worker to go and get tested immediately." Now, that's imagine hearing that and going, "Oh, hang on, sweetheart, I've got to go and get tested."
And the other thing too, if you said, "Oh, I got to test today," to your partner, she'd go, "Why today?" "Oh, just because I wasn't feeling well." That's nothing to do with the prostitute, is it? No, no, no.
No, it's the Coles, it's the Bunnings. Anyway, well, welcome to the podcast, and we're doing it remotely. You're in your house, I'm in my house.
Yes, and I hope it works. People, I've said that to people, and they said, "Oh, it comes together very well." We put together a little file, and we send it off to a little man. Courtney's a big man, he's not a little man. And he does a wonderful job. And he's been doing a very good job with the make-believes. I got to say, I enjoy, which is what you call a sketch. I call a make-believe.
I call it a skit, thank you very much.
Skit. Skit, yes. A skit. You'd be writing a little skit about this now, wouldn't you? What's happening right here with this? Oh, yeah. Do you get a bit of that?
Yes.
You write a skit about this? Well, not really.
You get material for your little skits, are you? Yeah, sure.
But Courtney, Courtney does a wonderful job. I mean, with Sam, obviously with Sam, he consults with Sam.
Yeah.
And Sam probably gets the sound effects and gives some feedback on how she would like it to sound. Because let's be honest, Sam is the executive producer of this program.
Yeah.
She's number one, isn't she?
She is. She owns the concept, I think. Yeah.
Owns the concept, and she's, you know, in contact with a lot of very powerful people around the world. So therefore, we keep her as the one in charge. Am I correct in saying that, Sam?
I've got friends in all the right places.
There you go. Well, we should say there might be new people joining us because of the lockdown, and we're locked down. Sydney's locked down. A lot of places are locked down. So, Canberra as well.
So
we get two topics, and then we've got to work out how they're related, and that's it.
And by the way, I mean, not that does it really matter how many people write a review?
I don't know. Yeah, well, there's been a lot of reviews, hasn't there?
Well, yeah. I mean, we'd love some. I looked the other day, and they hadn't moved for a while, so I thought, well, you know, people got a bit of time.
Get on there.
Yeah, get on there and give us a review. We'd enjoy that. Okay. So, having said all that, two topics given to us by Sam. Sam, what are the topics?
Boeing and potatoes.
Whoa. Well, that's interesting because Boeing, they make planes. The 737, which was had a few crashes, and they had to pull them back off the tarmac. Yeah, yeah. My brother used to work for Boeing. One of my brothers worked for Boeing for a while, the American company.
They're a very old company, from the early 1900s or something, very old.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't, I think Rolls-Royce does the engines, don't they? They just probably, I don't know whether they do they do the engines as well, Boeing engine? I don't know.
They might, but they just make planes, they make weapons, they make all sorts of stuff, Boeing.
Weapons?
Oh, I'm sure they make missiles and stuff, don't they? I think they would.
Boeing. I know that I know the factory that they build all their stuff in is the biggest factory in the world.
Wow.
And it would have to be because they're doing those A380s.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, they make them. Line,
yeah. So, you know, surely they make those. I was reading the other day, I think an A380, have a guess how much an A380 costs.
$4,000. Less for cash. No, I don't know, like $1 million? $1 million?
Higher. Let's play Price is Right.
$1.5 million.
You're saying it's only $1 million for an A380. That's the really big one.
That's the one that goes from Perth to London, isn't it?
Yeah,
A380. I've been on that. I've been on that plane.
You've been on that, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's big. It's big.
Well, I've got to say you're way off.
Oh, it's a 2.5. No, 5.4.
445.
What? How much?
445 million.
Oh. Who's buying one of them?
I don't know.
It's a big purchase, isn't it?
Imagine going. Is it like buying a car? Do you go and you go, how much for the 330? Oh, they're coming in at about 250. What about top level? The A380? Oh, yeah, you're looking at $445 million a year. Is it best you can do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll chat to the boss.
I ought to get a mechanic to look at it first, and then
Cool. What does it come with? Everything? What's it got? Has it got like it's got the first class, business class. Yep, you know, all new tires.
Walk around and kick the tires.
Yeah. Can I take it for a run? Sure. Where you want to go? I might shoot over to South Africa for a couple of weeks. Bring it back. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
No problem. No problem at all.
What do you like? Are you a good plane person or a good plane person?
The big planes, I'm good. I don't mind the big planes. I mean, I haven't been on for a while. No, we did go to Byron Bay this year, didn't we? We did. That was before lockdown.
Probably
the last time I was on a plane.
Yeah.
And I don't mind the big planes. I hate small planes, though. I can't stand.
You would have had a few trips on small planes for your foot. Ever had any horror stories?
Yeah. I went to Lindemann Island once, and I didn't know I was getting a plane. I thought I was getting a boat. And so I got to the airport. It must be Mackay or something like that. And the guy goes, "You've got to go around to the old airport." I'm like, "What?
Oh, no.
What's at the old airport? You know what's at the old airport? Old planes and old pilots. That's what's at the old airport." There was literally a guy smoking out the front. And he said, and it was like a shed. And he goes, "Just take your bags around to the tarmac, sir. And the pilot will be with you in a minute." And so I walked around. He walked through a couple of doors and walked out. And he was the pilot. He said, "All right, let's go." And we got in this small plane. And so he took off. It was like maybe a four-seater. And there was and I asked him how he learned to fly because he was an older guy. This is what worries me, you know, when you get in a... And also, if I was sitting next to him in the... I was like the co-pilot. So...
So if he goes to sleep, if he has a heart attack, you're bringing that baby home.
Well, this is the thing. I said, "Where'd you learn to fly?" And he said, "I was in Vietnam." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, I was a pilot in the Vietnam War." I'm like, "Well, how old are you?" I'm just trying to think. I didn't say how old are you. I'm trying to think in my mind, how old is this guy?
Because your dad was in Vietnam.
My dad, and yeah, I mean, he just passed away. He was 85. So this was maybe, this was 15 years ago, maybe 10 years. This guy would have been 70 for sure.
Oh, no.
And then you just, it's so beautiful that you're just flying out over the ocean and you just think, if he has a heart attack or a stroke, it's not going to be like on the movies where they'll radio and they'll fly in and land somewhere. It was just like, oh, man. And he said, "So what have you been doing?" I said, "I went to a funeral today of one of the other veterans, one of the other pilots." So he's in that world where he's going to funerals. Yeah. And he goes, and you know what he said? He goes, "Because you know when your number's up, your number's up." I said, "Well, if your number's up, let's get the supplementary." And but I also got offered to fly down to Bairnsdale, which isn't far from Melbourne. It's 3 hours. Right, drive.
Yeah.
And I was doing a gig for a charity, but they would fly you down in the Paddy's Pies private plane.
Paddy's Pies. Tell me, Paddy's Pies are good. Tell me that you had in-flight Paddy Pies.
I didn't go, but my friend Des went on the plane the year before, and he said, "It's no BHP Learjet. It's this old plane, like a Cessna, and you can have pies on the flight." So at least, when the crashes, they'll say, "Oh, he died doing what he loved," you know.
Eating party pies.
Oh, he's covered in blood. No, that's tomato sauce. So small plane. What's the smallest plane you've been on, you reckon?
I flew from Airlie Beach to, would have been Hamilton Island. Would that be right? That's right, isn't it? Hayman Island?
Hayman. Hamilton's got an airport.
No, we flew into Hamilton Island, and I was the same, except this guy was pretty young. He looked a bit like that guy who's on The Bachelor at the moment. He looked a bit like him, you know, and they're often tanned and good-looking, and they get their white, crisp shirt on, and you know, you go, "Oh, this guy knows what he's doing." Anyway, so we get to talking, and then obviously you go over water, and I said to him, I said the same thing. Well, actually, what's that joke? The old joke where the guy gets on the jumbo and he goes, "I'm a bit nervous to fly. How often do these things crash? How often can these things crash?" And the guy goes, "Just the once."
As I got on the plane, I heard a bloke said, "If God meant men to fly, he would have given them wings." That was okay, but that was the pilot, you know.
So I said to him, ever had any problems or anything, like the engine stopping or anything like that? And he goes, how often have you been in a car and you have had the engine just cut out?
And a few times, once or twice.
Yeah. My VW cut out on Geelong Road and died. So I said, ooh. So what do you do when it cuts out? I mean, not a good discussion to have when you are flying over water. But anyway, we had it. And he said, what you do is, you know how when you make a paper glider, it goes down a bit and it comes up again? You can glide. And you got to make the air, you got to slow down the ground speed as much as possible by doing that dip. And you got to make the last dip and the last fall from the rising as shallow as possible. So you got to go down low. And then hopefully you almost go plop into the water rather than going
smash
into the water. So that was, you know, reassuring in a little bit of a way because, you know, and there's a plane you can get, you know, that if the engine cuts out, it's got a parachute in the back. Have you seen that?
Oh, really? No.
Yeah, so it just goes boof and the plane just floats down into the water. I mean, I want one of those.
Yeah.
Next time I want one of those. But and I went up to Yarrawonga once on a plane and with some footballers playing in a golf pro-am, and we got up there, we played the game, and then the pilot said, I'll see you back here after the game. Then I looked across at the pilot standing at the bar and he was looking a bit edgy. And I go,
that's right.
I go, what's the problem? Are you okay? He goes, yeah, it's all right. I said, yeah. I'm just a bit worried. I said, why? He goes, oh, look, there's a few mountains between here and Essendon Airport. You'd like to get going. I said, you're kidding me. Don't you have a machine that tells you, you know, doesn't the radar let you know? And, you know, and there's a few clouds around. And anyway, so I just went bang. I grabbed everybody and we got on the plane and it was dark. And I've got to say, those footballers drank a lot of beer. It was it was just to help with the nerves. I think a lot of people find that a little bit intimidatory. I mean, some people have the rule, no props, or they also have the rule, there's got to be two pilots, you know. I know when we go on golf trips, it's always like, you know, how big's the... Because Rob Sitch is a pilot. So when you get on a plane, he can tell you all about it. I'll tell you who knows a lot about planes is Tony Moclair.
Oh, I know,
Overnights on 3LW. Incredible.
He's a plane nut. Absolutely plane nut. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you go with airline food?
Oh, I don't mind it. I don't know. It's not too bad. I don't find it too bad. Look, I don't bring so many snacks on the plane. I'm normally full. So.
Yeah. I don't take any chances. It's a little kit. It gives you something to do. Okay, that goes on there. That's for the salad. Okay, that's the butter for the bread. What's under that? And you lift the lid. Oh, there's dessert. That's for my coffee. A bit like, that's for wine. You know.
But they started to get very stingy. Before lockdown, I went on a lot of planes, and going back on the late Qantas planes, you would just get the same thing every time. It was like a dip and these sort of water crackers, and that was it. And yeah, I remember sometimes I got a banana. Just get a banana, which I'm happy with. A banana.
It's kind of reassuring in a way.
Yeah.
Have you ever been up in the cockpit?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
Yes. But what struck me when I went in the cockpit was how old-fashioned it looked. Like, it's just all the hydraulics and stuff. I thought it would be all computers, but it wasn't, the plane I went into. It was like all... It looked like something out of a 60s movie.
Well, there's a great Gary Larson cartoon where the pilot is coming out of the... cockpit, and one of the passengers is leaning in, just looking to see what the cockpit looks like, and it was the front dash of a VW.
Well, you've been in the cockpit, haven't you? Yeah.
Oh yeah, I went. They invited me to fly into Queenstown, I think.
Oh, New Zealand. Yeah.
New Zealand, which is one of those, you know, and they're having the discussion. They're going, and they're actually talking about the mountain. They're going, do we go left of the mountain or do we go right of the mountain? And I'm going, is there a decision? Is there? Yeah. So that means there's a wrong way and a right way? Or I'm going, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear, surely, because I imagine that they have the button that says flying and then a button that says landing. And you push the landing button and it just knows where to go. But they had to talk about it, and then we came in the right way, obviously. But the mountains were close by. And is it Hong Kong, the one where you go in between buildings?
Yeah, it used to. I think it's changed now, but it used to be, yeah. I've never been there, but yeah, it looked amazing.
Yeah, incredible.
All right, well, let's talk about potatoes. I love potatoes.
Big leap from aeroplanes to potatoes, but got to be probably it's a worldwide favorite. It's got to be one of the top, you know, growers in the world. I mean, it feels like you can grow them almost anywhere. There's so many different varieties.
Well, why
do
they
so many ways?
Do you eat potatoes, or is it on your FODMAP? Is it on your
FODMAP? I do. Well, I do eat, but there's a lot of, you got to watch out, there's a lot of starch in potatoes.
Yeah.
I think the starch turns into sugar, doesn't it? Or the sugar turns into starch or something like that.
Yeah.
You would be a big potato guy. Would you?
Love potatoes.
What's your favourite, method?
Well, chips, probably. I've been getting into oven fries, which I never, ever had, but during lockdown, I just went, I'm going to take the easy way out sometimes with cooking. So I've been getting into oven fries, and as, I think Kitty Flanagan was telling me, they've improved over the years, oven fries. They used to be pretty bad, but now they're pretty good, I got to say.
So they're not, meaning taste-wise or health-wise?
Yeah, just, no, not, I don't know about health, you know, but right. Taste-wise, yeah, I don't know about health.
Don't worry
but
about health.
But taste-wise and structure and the way they taste, yeah, they're pretty good, I got to say. They're not bad. I mean, they're never as good as a deep-fried potato. But they're still pretty good. But I mean, I enjoy all. I like baked potatoes. I like
baked potato. Roasted potatoes are beautiful.
That's possibly my favorite. Actually, a roasted potato.
Yeah, yeah. I like. I mean, I do love mash. I love mash. A kid, I used to just love licking the bowl, licking the pot after Mama made mash. And
but you just got to put a lot of salt and butter and.
Salt and butter, maybe a bit of cream.
Bit of cream or cheese, bit of milk. Oh,
yeah, just, and it's just, you know, oh, so good.
The kids like when you steam the potatoes, chop them up, and then put cream and cheese over the top and put them in the oven. That's also a good one.
Do you leave the skins on?
No, apparently it's healthier to leave the skins on.
Apparently, yeah.
Only when we have baked potatoes do I leave the skins on. Because remember when baked potatoes were a big thing? It was like the 80s when they started opening up baked potato shops.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And caravan. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And you could buy a baked at the Royal Show. You
at the market or... Yeah. There were a few actual baked potato shops. There was one near my house. We used to go there all the time because, and you'd have these big potatoes and you'd get coleslaw or baked beans, cheese, pineapple.
And they were huge. Huge. Oh. And you sort of use the skin as in a plate in a way. And you go in hard.
Yes. Yeah.
And mayonnaise. Seems like there's a lot of mayonnaise floating around on those.
Oh, yeah. I don't like mayonnaise on a baked potato.
Is it true that potatoes, when you buy them, are still growing? So, in other words, when you put them in your cupboard.
Really?
I think they're still growing.
They get little sprouts, don't they? Little buds.
Yeah. Don't know whether they grow in size, but they're actually throwing. Yeah, they do. If you leave them there for a while, you go, well, that one's gone because it's thrown a sprout. But I don't see other vegetables doing that. You don't see like a pumpkin or a sweet potato or a carrot throwing out like a flower.
Onions do.
Absolutely.
Potatoes, you're right. They still. Well, you know why the Irish are always associated with potatoes.
Potatoes,
the potato famine. You know why they started growing potatoes? Do you know why?
No.
Because you couldn't set fire to them. So they would grow wheat. They used to grow a lot of wheat and barley or whatever. Well, I read this in a book. And so then whoever would come and set fire to them, like the English or whoever they're fighting. And so potatoes, they're in the ground, so you can't set fire to them. That's why they started having potatoes, apparently.
So you can't have your crops burnt.
Yeah, you can't have your crops burnt. Exactly.
But if you do set fire to them, they come out cooked. They're ready to go.
Baked potato in the fire. Oh, yum.
Well, that's the one you do in the Scouts, isn't it? Because
absolutely.
You can throw it in its skin, but it's...
you've got to have alfoil. You've got to be alfoil.
Alfoil.
We had them as a meal the other night, baked potatoes, because we used to have them a bit, but we hadn't had them for ages, and the kids loved them. So you just have baked potato, butter, a bit of garlic is always good, coleslaw, make some coleslaw, corn, if you've got some corn, whether it's fresh or tinned, some sultanas, some pineapple, some sour cream, some cheese, and that's about it, and bacon, if you've got bacon, the best.
I reckon when you go out to a restaurant,
spring onions too. Spring onions.
When you go to a restaurant, there's that little competitive thing of like, as the meals come out, you look at someone else. Everyone goes, "Oh, that looks good," and then "Oh, you got the steak. Oh, that looks good," and then you know you got the fish. Oh, that looks good, and then a big bowl of chips comes out, and everybody goes, the chips are the big winner.
But how good is it in those old fashioned joints where you get a steak and you get the baked potato in the alfoil with a bit of sour cream on the top? Oh. That's pretty good.
What about when you're out and you haven't got chips on your plate, but someone else has got chips on their plate, and you're really hoping that they don't eat all their chips? You're just going. They offer you some. It's so tempting when you're walking past. What do you call it? Eating outdoors. What do you call that?
Al fresco.
It's so tempting just to walk past and go bang, take a chip.
Didn't you do that once?
I think I talked about it. On a TV show, I think.
I thought you did it once.
I talked about it on radio. Things you think about doing but don't actually do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You want one of those chips.
Yeah. On a cold day, you know, if there's nothing better than hot chips.
Let's go through hot chips, though. There's a few variants. In a cardboard cup. Yep. So crinkle cut.
Or wrapped up.
Or crinkle cut, or not
crinkle cut. I see what you're saying. I'm a fat cut guy.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. What about you don't like the string fries?
They're all right.
Oh, I like
them. I like one fat one at a time rather than having to take two or three skinny ones at a time.
So like the McDonald's, so you would prefer Red Rooster or KFC chips than all the...
Oh, I don't. They're fatter, fish, are they?
Yeah, they're fatter, and the McDonald's have the skinnier ones. What about a wedge? What do you feel about a wedge? That's skin on with a bit of sour cream.
I mind a wedge because it's got you dip it in a bit of bit of mayonnaise, is it?
No, sour cream and chili sauce.
Sour cream, of course. They're good, but I don't find I eat as many. I just sort of go, yeah, that's enough.
Big in the '80s, the wedges. Yeah, big '80s thing.
And you go vinegar.
Oh, I love vinegar. I think my favourite chip, possibly, I was talking to Kieran about this today, probably crinkle cut in a cup with vinegar and salt. Yeah, there we go.
I told you about the time, I've told this story before, but when I was out in a country town somewhere and I got a bucket of chips and I said to the guy, "Can I have some vinegar, please?" And he gives me a funny look. I go, "That's weird." So he puts the chips in the cup, puts them on the bench, gets the vinegar, opens the top of the vinegar and pours the vinegar in like he's pouring a drink. I've been like, whoa, just a sprinkle. And then I go to pick up the chips and the vinegar has eaten away the bottom of the cup and the chips just go all over the counter, vinegar everywhere. And he goes, "To tell the truth, that's why I don't like to put vinegar on my chips." I said, "Well, you did it, you fucking idiot.
I remember going to a fish and chip shop in Euroa, which isn't that far from Melbourne, like a couple of hours. Yeah. And I asked for soy sauce on the dim sims. He goes, yeah, I'll get you some. It's not that popular around here. He goes, "Around here, people like tomato sauce on their dim sims."
No.
I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, tomato sauce. I'm like, "No.
That's wrong."
Oh. I know, but that's what he said.
It's funny. You don't have to travel very far to find, you know, things are different.
A bit different. I love potatoes. Brilliant. Oh, they must be. Where are they from? They're from America, I think. Are they South American potatoes or?
I don't know. Everything comes from China, doesn't it?
I don't think it's Chinese.
Isn't it? They're a nightshade. Are they a nightshade?
They're part of the poison family, are they? Or something. Yeah, probably. All right. Well, let's have some thinking music. What are we going to. We're going to have something from Aeroplane, that funny movie with. Surely. Stop calling me Surely.
Have you seen A Grown Man Naked? Yeah. That show is just back-to-back jokes. And on paper, you'd be going, "This won't work." Leslie Nielsen, wasn't
it?
Yes. Yeah, so good.
Absolutely.
Potatoes. Is there an ad for oven fries? There's a classic ad for...
Potato gems. Remember Potato gems?
Oh, yeah, I got sick on them once when I was a kid. And yeah, so once like you get them. Sick of something... No, I don't like them. We could...
Is there a potato chip? We could have the Goodly Gook or whatever his name was. Remember the potato chip guy? The little freaky thing, and he'd come out. Smith's Chips was in the 90s and 80s, and he'd... what was he called? The Goodly Gook or the... Remember? He looked like a bunyip. And he was disturbing, and he was like a little guy. in like a little suit, and you go, I'm a guy, and he'd steal your chips or something. Or what about, you remember that old-fashioned McDonald's ad? Keep your eyes on your fries.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? And Hamburglar would reach over and Ronald would slap him on the... Keep your eyes on your fries.
We could do a make-believe, because, you know, a couple of pilots having a chat, like a new pilot with an older pilot, more experienced pilot, having a chat about, you know, up the front of the plane. This is, you know, we can take you behind the curtain of what these guys talk about. So I always wondered.
Well,
now we're going to find out. This is going to be interesting. So, I guess we just need that noise, don't we? With that noise of flying noise.
We're taking on it. Cool.
Occasional boong in the background of the boong announcements from the
one of the hosts. Maybe we'll make some announcements. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Thanks, Sam. All right, just put that up into the autopilot there, and we're away. Oof.
Degas system, test open.
Well, I've got to say, my first time flying with you. Just hang on, I can't see your name tag. What's your name?
My name's Ronald.
Oh, okay, Ronald. I'm Barry. Barry. Barry, this is my
second. A very old name for a young person, Barry. Anyway, here we are. We're 50,000 feet. Do you want to make the announcement, or do you want me to make the announcement?
Look, if you don't mind, if we're up at cruising speed, that would be nice, because I'd love to learn off you. This is my first long haul flight, so I've mainly been doing the smaller ones. I've just been flying people. I've just been flying up around, you know, Northern Australia. I had one guy on a flight. I've got to say, no, hang on, that's wrong. I had one guy on flight, that's right. It was that comedian guy. He wanted to know how to land the plane in the water. And after spending time with him, I've got to stop doing this. Those people are annoying me. And I went on to fly big
planes.
Fly the big planes. This is the A380, isn't it? Yeah.
The A380, run away to Hong Kong.
You know how much these babies are worth? Do you know how much these babies are worth?
I heard $445 million.
Exactly. Yeah.
Incredible. Well, I'm a more senior pilot. I would know that kind of stuff. Hang on a minute. I'll just do the... here we go.
Hello and welcome to Flight 451 to Hong Kong. It's Ronald here, your pilot, speaking here on the flight deck with my assistant. What's your name?
Barry.
Anyway, we are flying at 500,000 feet. It's going to be relatively smooth. Looking ahead, there is a bit of turbulence coming up before we land. Possibly a few people on the ground with rocket launchers, but we'll try and avoid them. And look, enjoy the flight, enjoy the service. And if you've got any questions, young Barry will be out to walk down the aisles and answer all your questions about planes. Like, why do we ask you to put the tables up? Why do we need the windows up? I'm not going to answer them now, but Barry will answer them. So look forward to that. Any children... any parents out there that need a rest from their annoying children, Barry's also got a childcare certificate. So he's got his working with children permit, and he's well prepared for that. So anyway, enjoy the flight, and I'll talk to you just before landing. Thank you.
Wow, I was taking notes the whole time for that. It was really informative.
It's pretty professional.
Yeah.
And I said you'd go and answer questions for the kids and stuff later on.
I'm happy to do that. So how long we got till we touch down? We got a lot.
It's about 8 hours.
So what do you do? How do you spend the time?
Well, I've been rewatching Sex and the City. I'm doing that. Which is, you're not a fan of Samantha and...
No, yeah, I didn't. I didn't know. No,
but I've almost finished that.
I'm just, and, you know, I brought all my books with me to swat up and you know, learn all the stuff. I'm still learning all the buttons. What's that button there do?
That'll get the hostie in, that button there. If you need a drink, that's a drinks button.
And what about this one? Oh, hang on, that makes my seat go up. Oh, hang on. Oh, it's too high. Oh, put it down again. Hang on. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, bring it down.
Head's hitting the roof. Yeah. And what is that button?
Yeah. Oh, that brings the oxygen mask down. Now they're panicking out there. Hang on, I have to get back on the... Hang on.
Ladies and gentlemen, sorry about that. Barry, the apprentice pilot's just hit the button for the oxygen mask. Be aware, there's no emergency.
This is Barry, by the way. I'm not an apprentice. I'm a pilot.
Yeah, he's a pilot, allegedly. Yeah. Anyway, so everyone just relax, and the drinks are on Barry. Woo!
Okay, there we go. Yeah, please don't hit any more buttons.
Okay. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. Right. I've just got to lean over, and I just want to grab that pen over there so I can write some notes. Oh, I put my elbow on that button there. What does that button do?
Man, that's landing. Oh, no.
Oh,
hello.
Shit.
I'll just make an announcement. Shit.
Sorry, everyone. Barry hit the wrong button. We're going down. Okay, get your life jackets on.
When you write reports, can you give us a good report? You know, if we all live through this, can you give us 5 stars? Seriously, because we you know, because I'm only starting out. It's okay for Ron. Was that your name?
Yeah, Ron.
Ron?
Yeah,
right, Ron? Yeah, you've had a good life, so... but you head between your knees and kiss your ass goodbye.
Oh, wow. Gee, it was... Interesting in that tarmac, wasn't it?
Wow!
In the tarmac, Jesus. in the cockpit, not the tarmac, cockpit. Interesting. I don't know. Barry was he was pushing the wrong buttons, and oh, what an idiot!
Yeah, Barry just didn't know what was going on. He was quite confused from the go-get, I think. And but luckily, he was there with Ron, and Ron was a bit like that guy who landed on the Hudson. He was very assured.
That movie is great. You've seen that
it's
movie?
It's great because he saves all those lives.
They blamed him.
And then they said, we're going to take you to court and we're going to grill you. And he saved it. I think he saved every life, obviously.
Every
no one
life.
Died.
Every life. Incredible.
And they're going to, Tom Hanks, wasn't it? Okay. I reckon I've got this one.
Okay, go.
I reckon when Boeing tests a new plane, I reckon they put bags of potatoes on seats to simulate the weight of passengers, because obviously they don't want to use real passengers, but they have bags of potatoes because they're weighty and they would probably slightly move. And then afterwards, they've done the test. Everybody gets potatoes to take home. That would be the answer. What do you think?
I reckon that there's talk of pilotless planes. Where, these pilotless, driverless cars.
Yeah.
And I reckon in the future we're going to get into planes where there is no pilot. There's just computers running it. And I reckon...
Like a drone. Yeah, yeah.
I reckon they've tested them out using sacks of potatoes as the pilots. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Same idea.
Similar idea. Well, what is the answer? What is the answer, Sam?
According to Boeing, potatoes' interactions with electronic signals mimic those of a human body, making them the perfect stand-in for people. When Boeing Co. needed to test out in-flight wireless signals on full planes, they couldn't ask humans to sit motionless for days at a time while they conducted experiments.
Oh, so we were sort of close in a way.
Sort of, in a way.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Yeah, it wasn't about weight. It was about, I would imagine that the flesh of a body is similar to the flesh of a potato. Would that be right?
Yeah. I don't know. But I tell you what, the Wi-Fi is not that good on planes, so they haven't,
Have you ever used Wi-Fi? I mean, I find that astounding.
No, I've never used it. I tried to use it on planes to send emails and stuff, but it never works for me. So I see businessmen sitting there going, sending off their emails and stuff.
But surely, does it cost money?
It's free. That's something I don't miss, is getting on a plane and sitting next to business people talking about their business work. That's something I don't miss.
Yeah.
Seriously, the only time I caught a Tiger airplane, I was sitting next to a guy. And so Tiger's the cheapest of the cheap. Yeah, it's the cheapest of the cheap.
Yeah.
It was a Melbourne to Sydney flight. It was the only one I could get or something. And anyway, the guy in front of him kept turning around and talking through the hole in the seats, in the gap in the seats, and going stuff like this. Gary, when we get to the ground, we've got to look at those figures for the third quarter, and we need you to take the front foot. And then Gary's going, yeah, sure, Stan, and we'll circle around again. And I felt like saying, guys, you're on a Tiger flight. How big is this business that you're running? That you're flying
Tiger? You're not big wheeler dealers. You're not at the top end of the.
You're not at the front of the plane. You're not in Qantas even.
Yeah, we got your name on the building. No. You're not that important. Yeah.